الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرسها قل إنما عند ربي صدق الله العظيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد مع المنذر والكرم وعليه وأصحابه أجمعين Respected ulama, dear brothers of Islam, dear sisters of Islam, and my dear children, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is with great pleasure that I am here again, alhamdulillah, and I thank you for inviting me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to learn the truth and act upon the truth. For those people who were present last time, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the signs of Qiyamah that have already happened and are happening. With that, we understood that whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prophesied had come true in its absolute accurate detail. And we saw some examples and we heard some examples of that. And as I explained, a prophet is the beloved of Allah, whom Allah has chosen to communicate the knowledge of the unseen to mankind. And that's his duty that he fulfills to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah today, if Allah wills, we will therefore talk about some of the signs which are in its infancy of occurring and some that have not yet occurred. But because we have already found out about the accuracy about those that have occurred, the believer will have absolutely no doubt in appreciating that whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us will come true. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, that a man will wish to be in his brother's grave. In other words, he will go past the grave and he will say to the grave, if only I was in your place. Life will have become such a burden for him that he will wish for death. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, it will be due to the calamity of his life and not because of religious reasons. In other words, the pressure that will be upon him to fulfill his obligations, he will go into debt, he will make promises to people, and he will not be able to fulfill them promises. He will see the environment around him in such a state that he will no longer want to live in this world anymore. And he will go to the grave physically. And one of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he will actually roll on the grave. And imagine himself to be in that grave. And then pray to Allah, "Oh Allah, if only I was in this grave." This is the situation that will happen to a believer who believes that he has to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now for those who know, it is not permissible to ask for death. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when a person is in a difficult and a strenuous situation, he should say, "Oh Allah, give me life until it is better for me, and give me death when it is better for me." But we will find that people will specifically ask for death. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed to his home city, the blessed city of Medina. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a time will come where Madinatul Munawwara will expel the evil people from within it. And the way that this will happen is that the people of Medina will be put under a test. They will be put under a trial. People from outside Medina will call them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a man will say, "I live in Syria, we have a life of luxury over here. Oh, I live in Iraq. Oh, I live in Yemen. Oh, I live in the Western world. Why don't you come and join us?" And people who are not God-fearing will leave Madinatul Munawwara, and therefore Medina will only consist of the righteous. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, proving that until that happens, there will be people residing in Medina who are not righteous, advising us that there will be people there whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be pleased with. But Madinatul Munawwara will only then contain the good people before the coming of the Dajjal. And when we talk about Dajjal in detail, which unfortunately will not be today, we will understand that he will roam the earth and every corner of the earth except for the sacred sanctuary of Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara. So Madinatul Munawwara will have a special place on earth which it has now. It will become the center of the believers which it is now. But it will also consist of only the truthful believers, which at present is not the absolute case. Then my dear brothers of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about the river Euphrates. Now, the river Euphrates cuts through Iraq. And only 2 years ago, the present leader of the occupied land of Palestine, Ariel Sharon, said that the next war in the Middle East will be not because of oil. He said, and I quote him, "The next war in the Middle East will be because of water." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the river Euphrates will dry up to the extent that there will be no water left in the river Euphrates. And then it will open and gold will come out. He then said, a warning to the believers, he said, that if you are there amongst that time, then do not take any of that gold. For people will run across land to try and grab some of that gold, and in the midst of that, there will be a major, major war, out of which 99 of 100 people will die. And only one person out of 100 will survive trying to get that gold. But everyone will believe they will have access to that treasure. Now the scientists have shown that the river Euphrates has started to dry. In the past, so many years, the river banks have started to decrease. And this is the sign of the coming of Qiyamah, that it won't be long before it completely dries out. Whether it will dry out naturally, or whether the water will be stolen by the Zionists or the occupiers of the Middle East. Allah knows best. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the land of Arabia, which is the land of sand dunes, which is the land of oasis, which consists of sand, will be full of greenery and pastures. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sat in Tabuk at the time when he said, the time will come where this land will have trees planted and there will be greenery and the eyes will see greenery as far as it can see. In Tabuk today, that is the case. In the land of Dubai, in the Emirates, you will find that that is the case. You will find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the true livelihood of the desert man, which is to grow agriculture or to graze their sheep, will disappear. And they will be in the materialistic world. And we are seeing this happening today as it started off. And this will get more and more, and the whole land of Arabia will be full of green pastures. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will be a civil war. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala and says that the most valuable thing that a man will have will be his flock, his sheep, and he will go to the mountains and take his sheep with him, while the cities will be in the state of turmoil, and they will be in the state of war. We have found that this has started to happen. Every corner of Iraq, there is a war going on. Every part of the Palestinian occupied territories, there is war going on. Only recently I read that the Palestinians, when they go to take their olive trees, they are attacked by settlers. And the police turn a blind eye, because the police are the Israeli occupation force. And we find that this is in the heart of the Muslim land. And this will continue to occur, until the extent that a man will take whatever he has, and he will go onto the top of the mountain, and he will stay there, and he will protect his deen that way. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a time will come when a believer will wake up a believer but die a kafir. And a believer will sleep as a Muslim and he will wake up as a kafir. And this is the situation that will happen. Where in the daytime, he will turn his back towards the deen. Because he will see something, or he will read something, or his heart will be attached to something else. And he will no longer be able to take on the patience, and the taqwa, and the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because he will see what is going on around him, he will refuse to acknowledge that Islam is the true religion anymore. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us that people will turn their back on the sunnah up to the extent that a man will be reclining. The hadith goes on to say that the man will recline in his armchair and he will open the Quran al-Kareem and he will say, whatever is halal in here, I will take for halal. And whatever is haram in here, I will take as haram. I no longer need to follow the way of the Messenger of Allah. In other words, he will interpret the Quran as he sees fit, and not according to the way that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had shown us. And we are seeing that today. We are seeing the question about the hijab. It doesn't say in the Quran that you have to cover your head. It only says cover your beauty. You don't have to cover your head. You don't. What is the beauty? Only some parts of the anatomy are now reasoned as beauty for our sisters, as where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly told us that except for the face, the hands and the feet, every part of a woman is awrah. And the fuqaha of the Hanafi madhab go as far as to say the Quran says beauty and the face of a woman is also beauty. And therefore that should also be covered. So the fuqaha wanted to protect the sunnah, and you will find people who will turn their back on the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly told us in Al-Bukhari that I leave you two things. If you grab hold on to them steadfast, you will not go astray. One is the Quran and the other is my sunnah. The hadith in Tirmidhi says the same thing, but it explains it in a slightly different way. The hadith of Imam Tirmidhi says, I leave you two things behind. One is the Quran and one is the Ahlul Bayt.
Allah.
And here it means, the Quran, as in the words of Allah, the Ahlul Bayt, as the family of the Messenger of Allah, Sayyidina Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein. And if you want to learn how to hold on to the Sunnah, then look at the life of Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein.
SubhanAllah.
If you want to learn how to hold on to the Sunnah, then look at the life of Imam Zainul Abidin.
SubhanAllah.
Because you will find that Imam Zainul Abidin, as a direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was found holding to the reins of the Kaaba, crying profusely. And a person said, Ya Imam, you are the Ahlul Bayt. Why are you crying with the fear of Allah? He just said, I am the Ahlul Bayt. Should I not fear Allah? Leave me alone and leave me to my Lord. That was the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us to follow. And you will find people, and we find them today, who will look at the Quran and turn their back on the Sunnah. In fact, there is a group called Ahl al-Quran, who specifically say, if it's in the Quran, we follow it. If it's not in the Quran, the Quran says aqimus salah, but the Quran doesn't tell you how to pray your salah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, pray salah as you see me pray. So, just by grabbing on to the words of Allah will not be sufficient. Because the Messenger of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul.
SubhanAllah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words of Allah is obey Allah and obey the Messenger of Allah. Because when you obey the Messenger of Allah, you are indirectly obeying Allah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a direct example for mankind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown how we should live our lives. How we should stay. Dear brothers of Islam, the day that you leave behind the sunnah is the day that you will go astray. The day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. Verily Allah has made a major favor upon you by sending you a messenger from amongst you. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done us many favors. In fact, every single thing that we see is a favor by Allah. When we breathe in, that's a favor, because if it stops there, you will die. You have to breathe out. And if you breathe out and you cannot breathe in anymore, you will die. That is a favor by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just take off one nail, pull it off with a pair of pliers, you will see how much of a favor one nail is to you. But Allah didn't say He had done you a favor by doing that. Allah didn't say that He had done you a favor by all the favors He had done. But when He came to His beloved, He said, I have done you a favor by sending a messenger from amongst you. So from here we can see how much of a favor it is. And yet we see our youth who do not even know about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The very reason for us to be believers That we forgot. We will find our sisters researching and reading magazines of people of the world and people that they aspire to. But you will not find our sisters reading the seerah of the Messenger of Allah. And alhamdulillah, there are many sisters that are doing so. And they can be seen a mile away. Because they are adhering to the way the Messenger of Allah asked them to adhere to. We see many brothers who want to live their life as an example for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they can be seen a mile away. Because they want to show, this is the way I should live. Now remember, the exterior isn't everything. Because the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was both interior and exterior. But your interior should reflect your exterior. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, that Allah doesn't look at your exterior, He looks at your heart. Allah looks at your interior. So let us all make the solemn vow that inshallah we will start to follow the way of the Messenger of Allah. Otherwise, you will fit into that category to which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be a group of people who will disregard my way. On the day of Qiyamah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be at the Hawd al-Kawthar, the hadith is narrated by Imam Bukhari, rigorously authenticated, that a group of people of his followers will come towards him. And as he is going towards them, the angels will say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these people had turned their back on your way after you had left them. After you had left the world, they had turned you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, go away, go away. Now, the choice is yours. Either you will be able to drink from the blessed hands of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, go away. And there you will have no one to turn to. My dear brothers of Islam, now we come on to probably the most important part. And that is, every time you turn the TV on, every time you listen to the radio, or you read the teletext, or you open the paper, it's absolutely common. 50 civilians have died. 100 Muslims have died. In this corner or that corner. Today, even last week, in the country of China, a small group of Muslim minorities were attacked. Now China is not at war, but yet the Muslims were attacked in China because they were believers. Every part of the world, you will find that the Muslims are being attacked. Either by justification or non-justification. But the justification is in itself injustice. So why? And was this prophesied by the Messenger of Allah? We look at the hadith of Imam Ahmad, rigorously authenticated, narrated by Thawban radiallahu anhu.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Thawban, Ya Thawban, what will you do when nations gather and together and they will start to attack the believers as they would be gathered around a plate of food, eating food. A plate of dinner, eating dinner. At that point, Hazrat Thawban said, Ya Rasulullah, is it because we will be few in number? Because if you look at the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, if you look at the Battle of Yarmouk, they fought against the biggest superpower that has lasted for the longest period, which was the Romans. And they fought in the Battle of Yarmouk, and alhamdulillah, I have seen the actual place where the battle took place. On one side, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought 40,000 leading the army of the Muslim believers. On the other side, 120,000 of the strongest ever army of the Romans. But Khalid bin Walid, whom Allah's beloved messenger called the sword of Allah, As he led the battle, he said to the believing women, "You stand at the back with swords ready. If any of the believers turn round and want to run away from the battlefield, you will kill them." That was his strategy. In that battle, between 3,000 and 4,000 Muslims were martyred. And 85,000 Roman soldiers were killed by the believers. On a ratio of 1 to 3. So when it came to numbers, the numbers were few on one side and major on the other side, but the army won. The one that had belief and trust in Allah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So Thawban couldn't understand when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the believers will be attacked and nations will gather together to attack the believers. So he asked the question, "Ya Rasulullah, will we be few in number?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, you will be plenty in number. But you will be like the scum of the flood of water. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the fear of the believers away from the hearts of the non-Muslims. And He will put a weakness in your hearts." And they say, "Ya Rasulullah, what is this weakness?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hubbi dunya wa qara'atul maut." The love of the dunya and the hatred of death will be the weakness of the believers. The love of the dunya, they will want to live forever and ever, and they will want to gain everything, and they will compromise their deen because of that. And the last thing that the believers would want would be to die in the way of Allah. Would we die at all? They want to live forever. And this is the weakness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in the heart of the believers. And this is exactly what we see today. This is exactly what we see today. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said one important point here. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they will be gathered together like they are sat around a dinner table. Now, during the Arab customs, and even today, what happens is, an animal is cooked. And the animal is brought fully. It's stuffed with rice. And it is brought, alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity of eating that with one of my shuyukh in Jordan. And this animal is stuffed with rice, and everybody sits around the table and they carve pieces from it. So not only one part is eaten, all different parts are eaten. And that is what we are seeing today, whether it will be the West, whether it will be Iraq, whether it be Russia, whether it be China, whether it will be Southern America, whether it be the Philippines, whether it be Indonesia, whether it be Palestine, whether it be Kashmir, whether it be any part around the world, you will find that the Muslims are being attacked from every corner. And this is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us would happen. And why it would happen as well. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You will be like the scum of the flood of water." Now when the water floods, it causes destruction. But the dirt stays on the top. The rubbish just moves along with the water. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called these people the scum of the flood of the water. They will move along the top. They will agree with what is happening. They will indirectly support what is happening, or they will turn a blind eye to what is happening. For every one of the occupiers that is killed, the Muslims see tenfolds being martyred. A small child who has a basic right to education under a school supervised by the UN will find that a bullet comes through the window and shot in the head. Her crime? She's a believer. That's her crime. A small young boy walking with his father will be shot by those who were supposed to protect him. Their crime. He's a believer. And this is what will happen. In Afghanistan, in 2001, October, when America decided to invade Afghanistan, and I'm not even going to go into politics. That's not my job. But I will tell you some facts. Some facts which I will say to anyone. When Afghanistan was attacked, at least 32,000 civilians were killed. 32,000 of your and my brothers and sisters were killed. Civilians. I'm not talking about the fighters. I'm not talking about those who stood up against the attacking forces. I am talking about the innocent bystanders. Last week, an independent human rights organization declared that since the beginning of the invasion of Iraq, 100,000 civilians have died. 100,000 civilians have died. These are all Muslim believers. But what's annoying, and what's even more surprising, is that since 1991 to 2001, in 10 years, when Iraq was under sanctions, 500,000 children died in Iraq because they could not get the basic medication. And another 500,000 civilians died because they could not get the basic necessities to live. 1 million of our Muslim brothers and sisters were died. Indirectly they were attacked. There's two ways of killing. There's either you kill them or you stop their natural necessities getting to them. And I'll also quote what Madeleine Albright said, who was then the Chief Secretary of State under the Clinton administration. She said, it's a price worth paying. She said that on primetime TV, that it is a price worth paying. 500,000 children died and it was a price worth paying. 500,000 Muslim men and women died and it's a price worth paying. Where is the justice here? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly told us. Because Abu Nadr radiallahu ta'ala and also narrates a hadith. He says that a time will come where financial and food aid will be stopped to some of the Muslim countries. Financial and food aid will be stopped. Who will stop them? The question was asked to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the Romans. Because that's the West. That's how they recognize. The Romans will stop this food from getting to them. They will be stopped. He also quotes two countries in the hadith. He quotes Iraq in the hadith. And he also quotes Syria. We are seeing what's happening in Iraq. And we are seeing what's being developed around the corner. My dear brothers of Islam, that's the reality of what is going to happen. There will be plenty of killing. Plenty of killing, he said. Harb. Be plenty of harb. Plenty of war. And plenty of Muslims will die in that event. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually gave four qualities of the Romans or of the West. He said they have four qualities. The hadith is narrated in Sahih Muslim. It says the Romans will have four qualities. One, that they will be able to recover after they have been attacked. And they will go back to sanity very quickly. Now, for a nation like the states that were attacked in 2001, on 9/11, any of the East would have taken centuries to recover from that. And within a short time they have recovered and the economy has recovered as well. Now that was told to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as one of their qualities. The second one of the qualities that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about them is that they will fight even when they are attacked. They will fight even when they are attacked. And that's exactly what they are doing today. The third quality in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was said was that they will be merciful to the destitute and the orphans. Now you will find today that the West are sending the most amount of aid to the poorer countries. The most amount of aid. The Muslims are nowhere near that. And this was one of, because when you have to face facts, you have, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever told one side of the story. He told a clear picture. When it came to telling someone about some qualities, he also told us about their qualities. He told us about the problem, that the things that degraded them, but he also told us about the qualities. And the final quality that the Prophet ﷺ said, that they will stand up against kings or rulers who oppress them. Now one thing you will find in the West is that the leaders never oppress their own people. They will go out of their way. If one of their citizens is in trouble, they will go out of their way. This is exactly what the Khilafat system did during the Ottoman Empire. If one Muslim woman was under threat in one corner of the world, an army would go to protect her. So what happened? The Islamic Empire is broken up so that they are each of the leaders. And the Prophet ﷺ, we heard last time about the tyrant rulers. And this is exactly what has happened. Here we find that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ told us about the qualities and about what is going to happen. He then ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away the righteous people. We've also heard about that Allah will take away the knowledgeable people, but Allah will then take away the righteous people. Today we find not many people stand up against tyranny. Not many people stand up against wrong. I'm alright, Jack, is the attitude. Why should I bother? I'm alright, the family's alright, it's not my problem. The family says don't get involved, otherwise you will be cursed by the community, or by the people, or by the country. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why? Because the righteous amongst us will be taken away. And Qiyamah will not come on righteous people anyway. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said something which we are seeing in the Balkans and we are seeing in Iraq. In the Balkans, Bosnia, in 1996, during the Kosovan War, a grave was dug up later on. And in that grave, there were 7,500 Muslim men and youth and children. 7,500. And these were killed under the very nose of the UN, who was supposed to protect them at the time. The Dutch UN army was supposed to protect the Muslims, and they allowed the Serbs to massacre these people. And this happened not so many centuries ago. This happened literally a few years ago. This is what happened. But the point is that the result was that there are many, many women and not enough men. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that women, there will be plenty of women, and only a few men, up to the extent that before the final hour approaches, there will be one man to every 50 women. And this is what we are finding in the state. In Iraq, the situation is the same. There are too many women and not enough men. And there's no one to marry these women. There is no one to look after these sisters. And there was no one to protect them. And this has happened, and this will happen all around the world. Until a ratio of 1 to 50. And then one of the final signs of Qiyamah before the major signs is that the Prophet ﷺ said that the Christian Ethiopians will attack Kaaba and destroy the Kaaba. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I can see the thin-legged black man taking the stones off the Kaaba. Now the very sanctuary of Haramain will not be left alone. And in the Pentagon, there's been over 200 documents that have come out that say that the place to really attack is Makkatul Mukarramah. Because that is the center of terrorism. That is the central point of terrorism. There are over 200 websites showing that. and inciting the large non-Muslim population and putting this perception across. Because Haramain cannot be taken or cannot be entered by a non-Muslim. So therefore the excuse is we don't know what's in there. We should be given a right to go in and have a look. Otherwise we should, some of the neocons in America have actually come up with the plan that it should be attacked. And some of them say, well, every part should be attacked and leave that alone. And leave them to strangle them. My dear brothers of Islam, after hearing all this, how is it going to change our lives? After hearing all this, we will still see our young men in the streets. We will still see a lot of us missing our salah. We will still see us turning our back against the sunnah. We will still see our sisters committing haram. We will still see our brothers imitating the West. We will still see them doing haram things, cutting their hair in a style which is haram for them. Why? Because they are proud that this is the way the Western world lives. We will still see that, unfortunately. We will still see that the deen will not be taken seriously. We will still see that people will not spend money on learning ilm. People will spend money on obtaining dunya. We will still see this. We will still see our youth in the large crowds in the streets harming the passers-by. Something which is haram in Islam. We will still see them on Eid day acting like violent criminals and pretending that they are celebrating one of the festivals of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to celebrate Eid, made it necessary that you pray an additional salah. The five salah will still be farz, but another one should be prayed as well to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we find is that everybody comes into the salah of Eid salah and the other five are you turn your backs on them. The masjid on that day, you will see, will be three quarters empty. It won't take long. The Fajr Salah that morning, I guarantee you, you will find many, many people who will not attend the masjid. You will find that the youth will be too busy preparing what they're going to do for that day. Unfortunately, we even see our sisters will be too busy wanting to hire cars and play loud music out there in the streets and committing haram acts. We will still see that even after hearing what is happening to the Muslim world. Even after hearing what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said will happen, we still turn our back away from that. Where that is hubbi dunya wa qara'atul maut. This is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. The love of the dunya will be so much in our hearts that we will not care what's happening to our Muslim brothers and sisters around the corner. We do not even sleep, we don't even lose an ounce of sleep over the fact that every single day thousands are being butchered alive. And what do? We are still too busy propagating our Western way of life culture. Now don't get me wrong. There are good things in the Western way of life as well. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly said. But the problem is that we will follow what is haram and leave behind the good. Even the West says, that we find that when Eid Salah comes close, we find the local community officer coming to the masjid and performing tabligh to the Muslims and telling them you should behave yourself on Eid. Have a bit of fun, but behave yourself. And he even quotes, please don't drink and drive. This is something that should never ever happen, because the Muslims are the people who are supposed to be ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. You are the people who are supposed to promote good and forbid evil. The Quran says, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat bin nas wa ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. You are the best of all creation. The best of all mankind, you have been sent to promote good and forbid evil. And one of the signs of the munafiq, one of the signs of the hypocrite, is that he will promote evil and he will stop the good.
Allah.
And the Quran says this clearly, the words of Allah. And yet we will find that every point of ours is showing towards the munafiq. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Isha and the Fajr prayer is heavy upon the munafiq. The Isha and the Fajr prayer is heavy and is an open sign of a hypocrite. And we find today it's heavy on the believers. We find today it's heavy upon us. Our pillow is too heavy to wake up in the morning and come to the masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he who wakes up and goes into the masjid in the morning is carrying the flag of Islam. And he who wakes up and ignores his salah and then goes into the town center is carrying the flag of shaitan. And we are all carrying the flag of shaitan when we don't wake up in the morning. And what more proof do you need about what we have heard? What more proof do you need about what is going to happen? What more in exact detail the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If I was to say these hadith only 15 years ago, you would have said, well, maybe it's a long way away. If I was to say these things only a few years ago, you would not have believed it. But today it's open, it's evident right in front of us. Every single day we find every corner of the world, we find that this is happening. The third most important site, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has remembered it in the Quran. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes that in the Quran. It's forbidden for any Muslim man under the age of 40 to enter the Haram in Aqsa at the moment. This is the Qibla Awwal. It's forbidden. And they've even stopped now. What's happening is the authorities are digging underground and made the foundations of Al-Aqsa so weak that it is coming towards the point of collapse. This was the first Qibla. The masjid built by Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. The place where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended to the heavens. But we don't even really know where that is. Never mind Masjid al-Aqsa, our own masjid we don't even care about. That's the position of the believers. Is that the favor Allah expected from you? Is that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us we must do? We were supposed to stop tyranny. We were supposed to stop this oppression. That's exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in his time. The girls who were being buried alive, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave that girl such a status that he took her out of the grave. And he said to the father, anyone who looks after three daughters and brings them up and protects them, then Allah will make him enter paradise. One of the Sahaba radiallahu sallam. One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, what if there's only two? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if there is two, you will enter paradise. Imam Nawawi rahimahumullah says, if one of the other Sahaba were to stand up and ask the question, Ya Rasulullah, what if there is one? He would have said the same thing. Now this is the status that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to women. Took them out of the grave and gave them this particular status that they will be the keys of paradise. He gave the status to the women that they will be three times more in status than a man when it comes that they are a mother. If they are a mother, your mother has three times more right over you than your father. She's a woman. So what do our sisters do? That status that Allah and His Messenger has given them, they take it well beyond that. They now talk about freedom. Freedom of the tyrannical Western system. Freedom that they can expose their beauty so that their mahram and everybody looks them with lustful intent. So not only is the person looking at them going destined for the hellfire, but the cause of it is going to be destined for the hellfire as well. The Messenger of Allah wanted to protect you from that. Allah wanted to protect our sisters from that. That He said, cover yourself so that you are not abused. The words of the Quran are, you are not abused. And we find that our sisters have turned their backs on that. We find that this the way. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Who is of a higher status than the daughter of the Messenger of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says there are four women who have an esteem that no other women can reach to. Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha.
And the other two are Hazrat Maryam and Hazrat Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh, who was a believer woman. These four women have such a high status. But when Hazrat Fatima passed away, she made an absolute important valid will. She said that don't even take my body into Al-Baqi during the day, because I want to be protected from the ghair mahram, the non-permissible male, from even seeing my body during the day. That was her. And one of the closest companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they went in the morning to Baqi, they saw a new grave. That's how it was. They saw a new grave, said, who is this person? They realized it was Hazrat Fatima had passed away at night. That's how much she wanted to protect her modesty. And that's how much she wants to put. And she is the leader of the women of paradise. And we see other sisters wearing tight jeans, wearing tight tops. And you only need to go out there on a cold Friday night into the town center, and you will see women that are more 90% naked. And this is supposed to be freedom. This is supposed to be the freedom. This is not freedom. This is abuse. Freedom is when a sister is protected. Freedom is when a woman is protected from head to toe. That a man, she can look, because her eyes aren't protected, or she can't stop from seeing what she's looking at. Although she's not allowed to look at Ghair Mahram. But the man is, it prevents the man from looking at her with lustful intent. That's the grade that Islam has given to her. And we see that this is not happening. We see our young brothers in college making jokes with each other about how many of the women they have been with. Don't think it's new to me. I know it all. We see our young men sharing ideas and sharing things with women. They don't even realize that she's your sister. In Islam, she's your sister. If she's a believer, she's your sister. If she's not a believer, then it's still absolutely haram. But they don't care. To them, this is the dunya. And might as well live and let live and have a bit of fun. What they don't realize is that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is going to happen is going to happen. And they will be brought up on the day of Qiyamah, and they will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be hung by their private parts. They will be dragged. They will be put in a hot boiling pot of oil, and their skin will be boiled. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said will happen, and it will happen. There is absolutely no doubt about it. Don't think that because you're a believer that you will be protected from that, because if you are a true believer, then you should have followed the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You should have followed the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then to use the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an excuse, to use him as an excuse to say, well, he'll perform shafa'a. Inshallah, of course he will. But the shafa'a is for those people who commit wrong and then they are sorry about it. The shafa'a is for those people who are ashamed of what they have done. Not those people who are proud of the haram that they have done. It's not, Imam Ghazali says, one of the evil acts of shaitan is that he makes the believer think that whatever they have done is nothing because Allah is merciful. The day that you apprehend, the day that you recognize that what you have done is wrong, is the day that Allah will look at you with mercy.
Subhanallah.
My dear brothers of Islam, society is changing at a massive rate. In the year 2002, 39,236 girls under the age of 16 in the United Kingdom were pregnant. Under the age of 16, 39,286. And 16,447 of them had an abortion. The laws of this land say that if a 13-year-old, 14-year-old girl wants to have an abortion, she doesn't even have to have the permission of the parents. You are living in that land, and still you are not putting deen as your priority. You are living in that culture where to say adultery is wrong is a sin in its own right. To say, the Italian minister that actually said homosexuality is a sin had to step down. He's not allowed to say that anymore. That's where you are living today, and you turn your back on your deen. Your iman is under threat. Your Islam is under threat. Your brothers and sisters are under threat outside the West. Every part of it is under threat, and you turn your back on the way of the Messenger of Allah. What protection have you? So my dear brothers and sisters of Islam, these are one of the greatest nights in the month of Ramadan. These last 10 nights are the nights where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden the night of power. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about a wali of Allah known as Hazrat Samsun. And he was talking to his companions, and he said that this man used to fast during the day and perform jihad at night. That's how he used to live. And he did this for over 80 years. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking, the companion's face became sad. The Prophet, they said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah had bestowed a long life for those people who came before us. How can we live that long to do all these good deeds? Look at the thinking of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At any point, they wanted to do good deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited until Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came down. And when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came down, he said, Allah has given you one night, and if you pray and worship Allah in that one night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for 83 years and 4 months.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
83 years and 4 months, but that one night. If you pray all that night, it's still voluntary prayer. It's still not fard. You cannot miss your fard salah. You have to start from that night and think, from now on, I perform repentance for all the salah that was obligatory upon me that I had missed. And then you start making them up. Inshallah, you will be rewarded for that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to act upon what we have learned. And to act upon the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, if Allah wills, we will talk about the major signs of Qiyamah in detail. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned around 10 of them. And as you know, most of the minor signs have occurred or occurring. There's only a very few of them left now. Which means that major sign is imminent. And one of the first ones will be the appearance of Imam Mahdi. And we need to understand that if we are alive at the time when Imam Mahdi appears, who do we choose to go with? Who do we choose to follow? Because the Prophet ﷺ says, even if you have to crawl on your 4 feet over the mountains of snow, do that to reach Imam Mahdi. So we'll talk about Imam Mahdi. We'll talk about the biggest fitna that has ever, that will ever arrive from mankind. And that's the appearance of Dajjal. We'll talk about, inshallah, Ya'juj, Ma'juj.
Inshallah.
Inshallah, we'll talk about some of the major signs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us about. If Allah wills, inshallah, next time.
Inshallah.
Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa
barakatuh.
माशाअल्लाह बहुत खुशी है आप लोगों का यही हाल रहा है انشاءاللہ بار بار شیخ کریم آپ کے سامنے آتے رہیں گے اور آپ کو دین اسلام کی باتیں بتاتے رہیں گے. انشاءاللہ العزیز شریفت کے بعد